I mean, seriously evil. I've never felt anything so potent and wicked as what's down there below the good earth.
Could we not possibly all wait here? Ambush them as they come out into the hall? I vow that I feel a greater fear at this moment than I ever did before.
Me too, Doc. But our plan only has a real chance if we can split them. We come up against all four of the family together, and I reckon we could find ourselves neck deep in the Big Muddy.
He gave Christy a quick kiss on the cheek, not wanting to prolong the parting. He glanced at the others, nodded, and smiled. Checking that JB and Jack were at his heels, he began to pick his way down into the basement blackness. There was even less light here than up in the attics. At least there had been a sort of breeze sliding under the eaves, giving some refreshment from the smell. Down in the cellars of the mansion, the air was quite still. Ryan took it a step at a time, slowly lowering each foot in turn, testing to make sure there was no creaking. His gun was in his right hand. He was becoming used to the poor light, and he could make out a faint glow somewhere almost directly ahead at the bottom of the stairs.
Just have a little patience, Elric. This is not something that should be rushed.
If the members of the Cornelius family were talking among themselves, then it had to mean they had no idea of the closeness of the ambush. Jack ghosted to Ryan's shoulder, tugging at his arm to make him lower his head.
I see best. Want me to go first?
Ryan nodded. Jack's eyes saw better in poor light than anyone Ryan had ever known. The only catch to the whole plan was the likelihood that the family could probably see even better than Jack, as well as having their other unnatural, genetically engineered strengths and powers. Despite their array of weapons, the odds weren't with Ryan and his companions. Jack's hair blazed a path for the others to follow as he picked his way through the cellars, taking blind turn after blind turn, moving all the closer to the light and sound.
I could do the same with the little one. So like his father.
Why nah? But not just you, sister. All of us for all of us. Melmoth first. His need is much the greatest.
But he hunts tonight. The Outlanders have given him new hope, so he seeks fresh power in Brampton.
The trio were so close now that Ryan could see their shadows moving on the wall a few yards in front of him. Jack had stopped, showing that to go any farther would be to emerge from hiding. The moment of attack was very close. Ryan inched past the teenager until he could squint with his good eye around the angle of the underground passage into a circular chamber around 30 feet across, with a stone seat most of the way around it. There were niches for lamps, but only a couple of them held lights. At the center of the room, surrounded by the three members of the family, was a rectangular table of multicolored marble. On it lay Dean, fully clothed, his eyes closed, his hands folded across his chest. For a single heart-stopping moment, Ryan thought his son was dead, and his index finger tightened on the trigger of his gun. Then he detected the slow rise and fall of the boy's chest, and guessed that he lay in a drugged sleep. On a smaller table, by a second entrance to the chamber, Ryan spotted an array of syringes and clear tubing, looped and curled over a chromed stand. The sight made him wince in horror at the thought of how the apparatus might be used on his son. Mary was touching Dean, stroking his cheek with her fingers, the long nails brushing at the soft skin. She smiled, and Ryan saw needle-sharp incisors between her full red lips.
In the morning, it will be a new dawn for us all.
Ryan looked to each side, seeing that JB and Jack were both ready. It appeared that Thomas was the most powerful of the family, so he was the prime target for their attack.
Now!
Ryan fired the Sig Sauer, each bullet striking home at the center of the black-clad chest, as a headshot was chancy in such poor light. Jack fired at the woman, two of his bullets hitting her in the upper arm and shoulder, spinning her, but none of them struck in vital parts. Elric swung his cloak, extinguishing one of the lights, and darted for the farthest entrance. Ryan hesitated for just a moment, and the lithe figure was gone. Thomas steadied himself against the wall, blood streaming down his arm over his hand.
You bastard! YOLO!
Ryan leaned at his knees, sending the figure toppling to the dusty floor. As he fell, he staggered in front of Mary, who snatched at her moment. She picked up Dean's unconscious body and ran at the three invaders, knocking Jack out of her way with a backhanded blow that sent him falling to his right, his Colt Python shooting wild. tried to grab at Mary, but she was too fast and strong, seemingly hardly affected by her wounds, leaving him gripping a handful of torn black cloth. She elbowed JB aside and rushed away along the passage toward the stairs.
Let her go. The others will take her. Get Thomas. Quick. JB, help me!
They'd rehearsed the next few seconds in the bedroom. JB took out the small thermite bomb that was shrouded in a plastic tube. He'd carefully prepared the mixture of one part magnesium to four parts of the powdered barium, all that they had left of the ingredients after their adventures in the jungle. He handed the bomb to Ryan, simultaneously reaching for a match from another pocket. He'd primed the bomb by carefully opening a half dozen spare rounds of ammo, and it was ready to fire. If it worked. But Thomas Cornelius wasn't prepared to go quietly. He was already trying to sit up, and the cascading flow of blood from his shattered chest was already easing. His eyes were pits of crimson in the dim glow from the last of the lamps. He groped unsteadily toward Ryan's face.
You're done for now. The boy and all of you bastards are done for.
Ryan seized the moment and jammed the bomb in between Thomas's gaping jaws.
Light it.
The tiny red-orange flame flickered into life, and JB lowered it toward the pinched end of the tube. Thomas punched out at Ryan, catching him a glancing blow on the shoulder. The pain was considerable, and the force of it knocked the one-eyed man on his back. The white-skinned vampire reached into his mouth, trying to pull out whatever was jammed in there. The thermite ignited. Ryan and JB shielded their eyes from the dazzling incandescent glow that began to burn deep between Thomas Cornelius's iron jaws.
Get out!
The huge man thrashed around on the floor, his arms and legs flailing in the white agony from the thermite. He had no chance of removing the bomb from his mouth, his breath sucking the flames and fumes into his chest. At the angle of the corridor, right on the heels of JB and Jack, Ryan glanced behind him. Thomas was rolling around, his back arched in a spine-cracking curve. The thermite had burned its way through his throat, up past the soft palate, attacking the base of the brain and the spinal column. His eyes appeared to have melted, and his whole face had fallen into the silver-bright flames. But still, he clung to life. But even as Ryan stared with horrified fascination at the last death throes, the body jerked twice, then lay still. Molten brains and skull dribbled over the floor.
Come on, Ryan!
He's done. Nobody could rise again from that.
Despite the promising start to their plan, everything else had gone sorely wrong. Doc was sitting up, rubbing at a bump on his cheek that was weeping crimson, and Mildred was swaying from side to side, doubled over, clutching her stomach.
What? The woman was like a fury uncontained, a Valkyrie in strength and glory.
Where is she? And where's Christy?
She went after Mary, who had Dean in her arms. Went toward the stairs. Go, Ryan!
Thomas is dead. Permanent. Elric fled up another passage. Could be loose anywhere in the house. Remember our plan and watch yourselves. Jack, stay with them. JB, come with me.
Now they ran together up the stairs, pausing on the second floor landing to listen for any sound. But the Cornelius Mansion was oddly silent.
Higher?
Must be. In the attics. Just hope that we aren't going to be too late.
Both of Christie's shots had missed. She didn't dare to risk a body or headshot in case she hit Dean, lolling helplessly in Mary's grip.
Stop and let him go! Nothing can stop us. Nothing! We're made to live forever.
Mary paused at the door to the top floor, fumbling with the handles. She ripped the brass lock out of the frame and threw it behind her, making Christy duck as it sliced by her.
Stand and fight, you cowardly, murderous, raping bitch!
For a moment, Mary seemed to hesitate. Then she vanished at the last flight of stairs. Christy was right at her heels, gripping the short-barreled pistol, knowing she had only two bullets left. She raced up the stairs, but stopped dead when she saw that Mary had turned and laid the boy behind her, standing and waiting for Christy. She beckoned to her.
Murderous and raping? Won't argue there, Christy. But not cowardly. Oh, no. Not cowardly. You want the male child? Then come and fight me for him. Beat me, and he's yours. Lose, and you die with him.
Christy picked her way carefully